Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us once again as we face the issues. I pray that as we face the issues day by day, that you are educated, intrigued, challenged, inspired to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen as Christians. I believe it's time that we as Christians literally become the salt and light that God's called on us to be. And as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I know there are a lot of folks that make the determination that you need to face an issue, resolve an issue or problem by a denominational dogma, some rites, rituals, rules, or regulations, or some political, ideological bent or position, you know, like which side of the aisle do you sit on? And many people make the mistake in doing that, but I believe that we need to get back to the Bible. I believe one of the major problems we're faced with in America today is we have strayed so far away from the Word of God. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, and it should be the foundation for what we say or do. It should be the light under our pathway, the lamp under our feet, that we make the decision based on what God's Word says. Jesus, speaking of that, said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus made a declaratory statement about the word truth. He said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So it's the truth of the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation that should motivate us, should guide us, direct us, and all that we say and do as we face the issues. I'm delighted to announce to you today that this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor equipment, fire equipment dealership specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own business, landscape business, or lawn care business. Also, Tools for Time carries homeowners brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a large range of hurricane preparedness and hurricane cleanup equipment. They have a full team of knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about the backup equipment and what to do in that particular time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Look up. It's right at the location of the 165-foot flagpole with a huge Old Glory flowing, the American flag. I believe it's the largest one in the state of Florida. I've been told I think it's the third largest one in America today that flies on freestanding property or privately owned property. Tools for Time, located 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Look them up, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today that I believe most of us should be interested in, most of us are interested in. We're going to start off with the elongated monologue, and in the monologue we're going to be dealing with what's taking place in Washington and some of the foray that's taking place, and I'm not going to try to get into the grass and the weeds of all of the issues and the ins and outs of what's taking place and the parties and the principles and the people involved in it. We're going to talk about that to set the stage for what should we do. So I'm talking today, America under attack. And then how should we then live? If America's under attack, if we're on the verge of losing our republic, how should we as Christians, as conservatives, how should we live? Francis Schaeffer adopted that statement back in the early 60s, how should we then live, in his movie on that subject, in his book on that subject. Never will forget having the opportunity to sit and view the first 16-millimeter full movie on the subject, how should we then live. I had that privilege of sitting in the Medical College of Georgia in the stadium room where they were showing that with a gathering of a lot of people looking at it for the first time. And I've adopted his term, how should we then live? for many, many years now, and I think that's the subject that we need to think on based on what we see taking place in Washington. We'll talk about that in a moment. We'll get into the monologue, but before we do, let me tell you that we have with us today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a theology and Bible professor at Conservative Theological University. We have the privilege just about each Friday to sit down with you and talk with you, our listeners, about some serious issues. We're going to be talking about that today. Dr. Phelps, delighted to have you with us today as we talk about these very serious issues and what I think will be the biblical answer to these issues.
Amen. We believe that we as Christians need to become involved. And when we are involved as citizens, then we become a part of what we call our constitutional republic.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, we're witnessing today, listen carefully as I couch these words directly and carefully. We're witnessing today what I believe is the collapse of the social, ethical, spiritual foundation of America. I would have never believed it 50 years ago, would have never believed it possible to see a shadow government. A government in the shadows, a full shadow government, to be so firmly entrenched and so completely controlled that America would face a complete overthrow, a complete coup to overthrow our republic. Ladies and gentlemen, the socialist, Marxist, Democrats were talking about the impeachment of President Trump from the very moment of his inauguration. Perhaps you recall the radical Islamic, Rashida Tlaib, that's in the House of Representatives. Rashida Tlaib said that she was talking with a group of people when President Trump was inaugurated. She said, "We'll just impeach the blankety blank," is what she called him. And that's been the goal, the mindset ever since. Because you see, they said that Hillary Clinton would win 1,000,000 to 1. Then they said that Trump's followers would be were the ones that they could smell in Walmarts. Now, it's bad enough for Hillary Clinton to call we, the Christian conservatives, a basket full of deplorables. But then some that were head leaders in the FBI, Peter Strzok, I believe it was, said that he could go to Walmarts there in Virginia and smell the Trump followers. Ladies and gentlemen, then they manufactured Russian collusion, but it failed. Then they brought Robert Mueller to the forefront, and that had a total, absolute dismal flop. And even though the FBI and the CIA and the DNI intelligence group with a coup, operated and carried out of the intelligence apparatus of America. It was through that coup, ladies and gentlemen, that the entire intelligence group tried to overthrow the elected president, the President of the United States, President Trump. And now the so-called whistleblower accusation, yet there's no evidence, hear me, not one shred of evidence of the president doing anything wrong on that telephone call with the president of Ukraine. Nothing was done. Nothing was said. Nothing was offered. No exchange in any fashion that would cause it to be considered illegal in any way whatsoever. The so-called whistleblower, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this, whether you've heard it or not. I've said this since this came up. The whistleblower is an embedded part of the network of the CIA, the FBI, and the intelligence apparatus in America. It was so well crafted by the so-called whistleblower's notification to the IG's office. It was so well crafted in that fashion that it did not come about to look in any fashion as being anything other than authentic. And the only way that could have been so well crafted by an individual that was not firsthand knowledgeable of what he claims would have been if it had been manufactured out of the intelligence apparatus of the United States of America. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. I believe that they will move forward with an absolute declaration and a vote to impeach President Trump. I believe that it would be a total failure, but they want it to be so badly that it will harm and so wound the president that, in their opinion, this is worthwhile because it will prevent him from being reelected. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to just read you a blurb from an article that gives you a little insight that perhaps the media has not given you. In fact, it's an place that you don't go for information. It's for the media, the fake, false, phony media. At one time, you could turn to Fox News and find about 90% conservative, solid news. It's gotten to the point that they're so politically correct and want to be so politically balanced that you find a lot today that is lacking when it comes to what would be called conservative news. That's just my opinion. You may disagree. Here's an article that says, Ukraine transcripts show CrowdStrike, CrowdStrike, is the common denominator between Hillary Clinton's email server, Joe Biden, the Burisma holding company, that's Burisma holding company, and the Russian collusion hoax. This article further says the reference to CrowdStrike, mark my words, is momentous in this transcript today. That was one of the keywords in the transcript of the telephone call and the logging it as to what was talked about by the Ukrainian president. I know very well, this article says, that the whistleblower didn't tell the Democrats about that, or they would have a different strategy laid out for this. In the article, it says, why are the Democrats rushing so fast to try and impeach President Trump? Because of a single word in the Ukraine's transcript, CrowdStrike. Who are they? CrowdStrike is a private sector security company in Silicon Valley, and they were hired by the crooked Hillary Clinton team to keep her email server out of the hands of the FBI. James Comey saw that the mission was successfully completed. Why does President Trump mention CrowdStrike in the transcripts? Because CrowdStrike is the one single thread that ties together the Joe Biden getting slush fund money for his son Hunter, the Russian collusion hoax, the Mueller report, and the collusion of Obama's administration with the Russians in 2016. This article writer says, yep, CrowdStrike is your key word. And he goes on to say, yes, the Democrats know that they cannot actually impeach President Trump, just like they knew that there was no Russian collusion. But they kept that scam going for 2.5 years, a way to tie Trump up. And in that respect, the Democrats were successful. But they didn't anticipate CrowdStrike popping up in the transcript, and now they're in absolute panic to muzzle Trump. But the proverbial cat is now, as they say, out of the bag. And I could go on and on and on because it's a very fascinating article, but it's right on target. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that that will unfurl, peel the onion, if you will, and bring out the truth eventually as to what is taking place. But I believe prior to that fully coming out, that's the reason the Democrats in such a rush today to do the impeachment so that that can be behind them. They need 218 votes in the House. As of last evening, they had 216 votes already lined up. So I believe they'll get the 218 votes. It's a feeding frenzy, the word impeach. They'll get the 218 votes. So I believe that they will literally, in the next week to 10 days at the most, they will literally have a vote in the House to impeach President Donald J. Trump. That's what they're wanting. They know they cannot do it. They know they cannot put him out of office. They know that otherwise they could not win in the new election coming up. And so they're doing this to wound him so badly that it will be an impossibility even in their eyes to see him being able to be reelected. So, ladies and gentlemen, every Christian, every conservative, every constitutionalist in America today must not sit in silence. We must not sit back and be closeted as though this is not taking place. We must stand up, speak up, and make our voices heard. And that's my monologue. That's where I believe we are. And that's where I believe we need to start as the starting point for what we need to do. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that Christians need to be salt and light. But unfortunately, either out of fear or out of ignorance or out of immaturity or simple stupidity and laziness, Christians have allowed themselves to be silenced and shoved into a closet. And Christians today must not be silent. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're going to be in dialogue in a moment with Dr. Neil Phelps, and we're going to be talking about what Christians ought to do and how we should respond to this attempt to overthrow America and to destroy the foundations of our very republic. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. a telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion on this subject. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches us that when the wicked rule, the righteous suffer. That's a parallel phrase, if you please, Proverbs 29:2, that states that. The Bible also says that righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach. The word reproach means shame, dishonor, insult to any people, Proverbs 14:34. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that America's greatest need today, America's greatest need is to turn back to God. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that America's greatness is not because of our goodness. I believe that America's greatness is not because of our grandness. America's greatness is because of God and His greatness, because God is great. Because America has turned our backs on God. We've turned our backs on the Bible. We've turned our back on Jesus and the cross. We've turned our backs on prayer. And now we're faced with apostasy, the falling away. And as a result of the falling away, Dr. Phelps, I believe that we're watching God judge America. And I believe this is part of His judgment on our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you that Christians need to become involved. If you're saved today and you're looking for a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching New Testament church, let me take this moment to insert this invitation. We'd love to have you come and worship with us this Sunday. 9:30 a.m. is the Bible study time, Sunday school. 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m., our worship hour. We'd love to have you come and worship with us. We've had the privilege of meeting you on the air. We'd love to meet you in person. Dr. Phelps, it's always our joy, as you have seen, as we see those that have listened to the broadcast faithfully each day, to come and participate in worship services with us. We're not trying to pull you out of your church home. If you're involved in a church, wonderful. If it's a Bible preaching, Bible teaching, New Testament church, stay there. But if you're not getting fed the Word of God, if you're not studying the Word of God, verse by verse and chapter by chapter, if you can stay in that church 30, 40, 50 years and still not learn the Word of God, you need to be in a church where the Word of God is proclaimed. You need to be in the church where the Word of God is taught from a literal conservative perspective and not just allegorized and made to look like you can be healthy, wealthy, and wise if you just use God as a holy horseshoe or a magical rabbit's foot in some fashion. So let me extend to you that invitation to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church even this Sunday. Sunday school at 9:30, worship service at 10:45 a.m. and at 7 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, what can we do? What can we do? What can you do? What should we do? As believers, how should we respond? Dr. Phelps, I believe that there are three imperatives. I'm going to state these. Then I'm going to turn it over to you and let you discuss with us some of the answers that I believe are authentic biblically. There are three imperatives for the Christian in America today. And I believe this is the answer to the salvation of our nation. I'm talking about the deliverance, the protection, the preservation of our nation. I believe this is the answer to Christians not falling away in the further apostasy, but if you're truly saved, getting involved and being salt and light. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about three imperatives for Christian America today. For every Christian in America, listen carefully. Get involved. Hear me? Get involved. Don't be silent. Don't just sit and watch. Be salt and light. And look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. You look at that unit of thought, and you understand what God's Word is saying. We need to be salt and light in a dark and decaying world. Number two, we need to vote. Dr. James Dobson made a very powerful statement a few months back. Dr. Dobson said, and I quote, "If Christians do not vote, America will become a socialist nation." If Christians do not vote, America will become a socialist nation. And Dr. Phelps, I believe that with all there is in me. I believe that it's as a result of God's divine intervention through the Christian's voice and the Christian's vote, November of 2016, that put Donald J. Trump in office today. And I believe God had that to give us a little reprieve. I believe God placed Donald J. Trump in office to give America a reprieve from the absolute point of no return, the potentiality of a total destruction of the constitutional republic that we are today. We're not, ladies and gentlemen, a democracy. A democracy is mob rule. Now, we are falling into and declining into a democracy. But there's a difference between a constitutional republic and a democracy. Democracy is simply where the majority rules. And a constitutional republic is where we go based on the Constitution with a representative form of government. And so the third thing, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the three imperatives for Christian America today. Number one, get involved. Don't be silent. Be salt and light. Number two, vote. Vote. Local, state, national. Vote. And let me just tell you how to vote, if I can be bold enough to do that. If anybody says they're for abortion, vote no. If anybody says they're for the sodomite agenda, vote no. If anybody says that they're for no borders in America, vote no. If anybody says that we're a democracy and not a republic, vote no. Simple as that. I don't believe it's possible, ladies and gentlemen. May I be bold enough to say, Dr. Phelps, I believe that it's an impossibility, a biblical impossibility, to say that you're saved and vote on the Democratic ticket. I believe it's an impossibility. I believe it's an oxymoron to say I'm a Christian Democrat. An oxymoron. I'm not going to try to explain that to you. If you, after the podcast, get you a good dictionary and look it up, you'll understand it. It's an oxymoron. It's like saying this is cold, hot water. It just simply is an oxymoron. The third thing, Dr. Phelps, and this is where I want us to go for the balance of the broadcast today. The third thing that I believe is an imperative, if Christians are involved, if Christians are voting, the third thing is Christians ought to pray. Pray. Prayer invites the power of God and allows God to heal our land. In fact, the scripture says, I believe, Dr. Phelps, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that we have to pray without ceasing. That means we keep on keeping on praying. Regardless of how dark it may seem, we pray. Regardless of how difficult it may be, we pray. And the scripture says we pray about everything with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 tells us. The Bible says that we're to pray for our leaders in 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2, and we'll talk about that late in the broadcast. Dr. Phelps, would you take a moment to talk with our audience today? We've got a few minutes before our top of the hour news break. We'll get into the subject, and then after our news break, after a few minutes, get back to it. Would you take a moment, Dr. Phelps, and let's start our conversation today about prayer and what the Bible says about prayer. First of all, would you, Dr. Phelps, I know a lot of people think that they know what praying is. And I believe that they do so, multitudes, out of simplistics and out of immaturity or out of sheer ignorance about prayer. Dr. Phelps, would you just very briefly state to our audience, what is prayer? What is prayer? Is that just saying, and if I can intrude on what I want you to ask, answer, and do. Many people think prayer is saying, God, give me this, give me a job, give me money, give me health, give me a home, give me a car, take care of my friends, take care of my neighbors, take care of my family, take care of me. It's all about me, 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 me. Dr. Phelps, is that the proper prayer? What is prayer?
We believe the Bible teaches us that we need to be involved in prayer. God's people are people of prayer. I have said before on this broadcast, God gives us the wonderful privilege of being involved. In the world of sports, people are either spectators or participators. Only a few people are involved as players. The same is true in the spiritual arena. Only a few actually do take the role of players to participate in effective prayer. One of the many blessings that we inherit by believing in Christ is having the privilege of prayer. We have in Jesus a great high priest who tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so one of the many blessings we inherit by believing in Jesus is having the privilege of prayer. We have an advocate with the Father, and we do not come to God in our own name, but we come to God in Jesus' name and talk with God about the things that are involved in our life, things that we face, and the things that have to do with the work of God. We believe the Bible teaches us that we should be involved in prayer. And so the Bible clearly instructs those who are part of the family of God to pray, praise, and give thanks. King David was a man of prayer who said, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. As we live by faith and do the will of God, we act in faith to ask in Jesus' name. When we ask and receive in Jesus' name concerning things that have to do with the gospel ministry, we glorify God. I would like to repeat what I just said. Our prayer life should not be praying, gimme, and having to do with my desires, my wants, what I want for myself. We believe that we ask and receive in Jesus' name concerning things that have to do with the gospel ministry. May I read from the book of John, chapter 14, in verse number 10. Jesus said, Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And verse number 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And we believe those things that he's talking about here are those things that have to do with the ministry of the gospel,
yes.
The Lord's work.
Yes. And Dr. Phillips, one of the things that is a caveat that I believe that many misunderstand about prayer, ask anything in my name and it shall be done, or asking it you shall receive, and you have not because you ask not, etc., etc., in many scriptures. But there's a precursor, prerequisite to that. Ask according to my will,
God's
the
will.
Scripture says. Tell us what that means and why that's so important in prayer.
We believe the Bible teaches us in the epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5, that we can ask according to God's will, and that's one of the requirements, prerequisites for answered prayer. Listen to 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And I believe that what he's saying there to us is that we should pray in according to the scriptures, according to God's will, praying in the will of God. And that's so very important. We can pray amiss, that is, incorrectly.
That's right.
And we will not receive. We can pray out of the will of God, and certainly God may not hear us. God wants us to pray, but he wants us to pray according to his will. And so we believe that's very important. But we'll also receive only when we believe. Notice that he said in that verse, this is the confidence that we have in him. We believe the Bible teaches that faith is the confidence that we have that God will do what he has promised in his word. So that's very important that we ask believing. And we will not receive if we have a sinful heart. Scriptures teach us in Psalm 66:18, if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. So we need to be willing to deal with sin by confessing and forsaking as we go to God in prayer. We learn from the scriptures that our prayer should be with this end, that we glorify God, even as the words that Jesus spoke on earth were those that glorify the Father. The things that we do by asking and receiving in Jesus should bring glory to God.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a news break at the top of the hour. Be back in about 1 minute. Don't turn the dial. Hang in there. Be right back as we continue with Let's Fix the Issues today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.